One is that on the 22nd, we're going to have an old-fashioned Sunday. We are going to have dinner on the grounds afterwards. That's just 2 weeks away, folks, just 2 weeks. And so there will be a sign-up sheet for the dinner out here at the reception center. And then the second announcement that I failed to make was that tonight we're going to continue with our study of the book of Revelation. And we're going to begin on chapter 2. Okay, so we're going to be moving, changing time periods from the past to the present. And so you want to be here for that. And we'll be looking at that tonight. Sunday school is a very important time for every church. And if you're not making Sunday school, you're really missing a blessing. You're missing an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to learn about Jesus and different aspects of serving Him and loving Him. There are times when it's very obvious what the answer is to a question or a problem. So obvious that even an idiot can figure it out. As Christians, we're supposed to know all the right answers. But knowing the right answer and doing the right thing is not always necessarily the way it works. What would you think of me if I told you, you know, this is what the Bible says we all ought to do, and then I didn't do it? You wouldn't have much confidence in what I was saying, would you? And you shouldn't. It's a matter of practicing what we preach. And so one of the things, I don't know where we're getting some static from, but we'll just make do with it. I want to share something with you this morning, something that is important. Every time you come to this church, you should be receiving something that is useful to you. If you're not getting anything useful, you need to find a place where you can get something useful. My wife and I have been cleaning out the motorhome with the idea of selling it. And we are cleaning it out in three piles. Okay. You've probably never done something like this, but Salvation Army, Keep, and Dumpster. Those are the three piles that we are working on. There's a verse that I would really like to share with you this morning. The verse is James 1:22, and most of you will know that verse. James 1:22, and it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Why would anybody, us included, why would any of us want to deceive ourselves? I would think that's the one thing we don't want to do. Now, there are times when we do that because we do not want to know the truth. You say, when would I ever not want to know the truth? Well, maybe you've been experiencing some symptoms, and you should go to the doctor. but you don't go because you don't want to know. Okay? Number one is maybe the treatment was worse than you would want to go through. Number two, maybe there isn't any treatment, like our video, and it's time. But I want this morning to share with you a piece of truth that will affect every one of us. The piece of truth that we're going to look at actually has something to do with the Sunday school. Now, I don't know how many of you read C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a Christian writer. C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of, he has written a lot of material, Screwtape series and many other writings, but he also wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. And I like that. I've got it on DVD, and I like to watch it every so often. There's four different episodes of it. And in one of them, he has an owl. And the owl flies in and works with the main characters. But the owl says something that is actually the title for my message this morning. The owl flies around saying, woo, woo, what to do, what to do. And that's the title of the message this morning if you look in the bulletin. What to do, what to do. That's the question that I want to try and answer this morning for all of us. I don't know why the Lord has given me this message this morning, but he has given it to me, and so I need to preach it to you and share it with you. There are situations in life that are sort of hard to deal with. And sometimes we don't do too well with them, because if we were to do what we know to do, it would cause complications. Complications with family, with friends, with other people. And rather than get into these complications, we just let the situation stay the way it is and we ignore it. That's not a good thing for us to do. There are scripture verses that speak to my heart. There are scripture verses I'm sure speak to your heart. And sometimes these verses are hard to apply. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is applying scripture to our life for each one of us. There's a passage in Hebrews. We've studied the book of Hebrews on Wednesday nights. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Turn there, if you will, please. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want to sort of use this as our jumping off place for this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tell us this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, as we begin our study of your word this morning, we would ask that your Holy Spirit might be here in power. Father, may we not harden our hearts this morning, but may we open them. May they be soft. May they be pliable to the wooing of your Holy Spirit. Father, as he ministers to us, to help us to know what to do. Thank you, Father, that we can ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, none of us are the first Christians in history. There have been others before us. And they have experienced the very same things that you and I are experiencing. This is not new. And they managed to get through it. And that's what we want to think about this morning, is being successful. I want us to think about what the Bible tells us to do and what others have done and endured over many, many centuries. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, which came before this 12th, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, is called the Faith Chapter. The Faith Hall of Fame. Because it tells us about many who sacrificed everything for the sake of Jesus. What have you given Jesus of value? For the cause of Christ? What have you given Jesus of value for the cause of Christ? Now, I remember an illustration that Tim used in Sunday school months and months ago because it was very dear to my heart. He mentioned the fact that he had some guns. And he really didn't want to part with those guns. And I know exactly what he was talking about because there are times when you and I hang on to stuff. Because it's our stuff. It doesn't belong to the Lord. And it's like pulling teeth to get us to turn loose of some of this stuff sometimes when we need to, or when the Lord says to. And that's what we need to think about this morning, is what kind of stuff do you and I have that the Lord could use in this ministry? We're told in verse 1 that we should lay aside every weight. And I want you this morning to think about different weights that you are toting around with you. First of all, there's the weight of family responsibility. We all have it. We have a job to do, a family to take care of, a person that we need to watch after. That's one weight. There's the weight of job. Jobs have responsibility, and jobs require us to do certain things, and so there's the weight of job responsibility. Then there's the weight of interpersonal relationships. That's a heavy one. That's a heavy one. That involves a lot of different people. But that is a weight that we can tote around with us, be burdened by, bowed down by. And finally, there's the weight of financial responsibility. Well, I should do this, or I've got to keep this for me, or I've got to, just like Tim and I with our guns. Yeah. The Lord blesses each one of us with different assets. The Lord gives each one of us different things of value. And he gives them to us to hoard, right? No, that's not why he gives them to us. He gives them to us to use for him. And that is a very difficult thing for some of us. Because some of these things, and we'll get into it tonight too, as we get into this book of Revelation and the church at Ephesus. There are some of these things that become idols. Yeah, they become idols. just as if we'd made them out of stone or concrete or wood or whatever. And they are placed in a place in our life where God is not to go near them. You won't believe, you and I do have idols in our lives. And it's so easy for them to creep in. And so, you know, as the owl went around, C.S. Lewis wrote about what to do. What do we do with these things? How do we deal with that when God places things in our life for us to use for Him? And we take them and we make an idol out of them and put them on a stand where He can't get near that. That belongs to me. I'm not going to use that for God or for the church or for anybody else. That's mine. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something really difficult. I'm going to ask you to look through your life for the idols, because they're there. Because God has given you that thing to be used for Him, not for us. And it's really a challenge. If we're going to answer the question about laying aside every weight and laying aside the sin that besets us, there are things in this world that we're going to have to lay aside. Things that we might have to liquidate so that we can give them for the Lord's work. And people, my own conscience is being pricked. There are things that I have in my apartment that could be a benefit to the Lord's work that are not benefiting anybody right now because they are just laying there. And the Lord really brought me under conviction about this. I'm hoping, my wife has had heart surgery, I'm hoping she doesn't have a heart attack when I let her know what I'm going to get rid of. What I'm going to do. You know, the corner of the walk-in closet, I'm going to clean it out. Guns. Because there are some real needs right here in this ministry. And I cannot help those needs without making a sacrifice myself. I've told you at previous times, I have given everything to the Lord, okay? And at the time, I meant it. I had given everything I thought about to the Lord. But there were some things I had not given to the Lord. And I realized as I prepared this message that I have to give those things. Now, I hate to admit this, my wife will nod her head back, but don't look at her. Sometimes I'm stupid. And if you nod your head, honey, you're in trouble, okay? Sometimes I don't learn the first lesson. There was a time in my life and in her life where we gave 100% of everything we had to the Lord in order to go on with the ministry that He wanted us to be involved in. I gave everything except one item. The one item I knew God would not want. Oh, God, you wouldn't deprive me of that. His name was Rusty. He was red. He had a tail, four legs. He was an Irish setter. And I had wanted an Irish setter since I'd been a little boy, because my grandfather had Irish setters. And God had given me one. And when I gave everything back to the Lord, I hung on to Rusty in my heart. And what happened when we got ready to get rid of everything? The first thing that was wanted, the first person who came to look and buy stuff wanted Rusty. Boy, he just turned that knife. Well, you and I need to keep going to that place over and over and over. God gives us blessings. God gives us material things in order that we can use them for Him. And you were talking this morning, Tim, and about, you know, the motive for helping, for being involved. And the motive has to be love. We have to love people. That's got to be the motive why we are serving them. And God just, if you'll think about it, God is giving you many examples in your life as you go through life as to ways that you can give some of the things that He has given to you. Yesterday, there was a young lady got out. Her car wouldn't start after the hurricane, and she pulled alongside of it, and she had a pair of, and so you men will understand, aluminum jumper cables. If you want to start a fire, you use aluminum jumper cables. Or if you don't want to start a car, aluminum jumper cables would be good for that. And she couldn't get close enough. They were short. And she couldn't get... Her battery was on the wrong side of the one car, and on the other side of the other one, she couldn't reach them. And I had a set of 20-foot copper jumper cables. And so I went out and got them out of my car and got her jumped off. And she was appreciative. I didn't know her, you know. And her name was Maya. I learned something, one of our neighbors. God, everything that God has given you, everything is for a purpose. But there is something that we all have to do, and it is so hard. It is so difficult. God has all of us on a path. We are all traveling toward the same destination. We are all traveling to the doors of heaven. That's where we want to wind up. We want to wind up in heaven with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are on that path. It may take different routes, but that's the path He has us on. And He just provides for us everything we need to be on that path. And in order for us to get from here to there, we have to do what James told us: be ye not hearers only, but doers. Now, I'm going to come to the verse that is going to affect every one of us. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. This is a command. It's in the imperative, Greek, in the imperative mood. And Paul is telling us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's implied that we too are to be crucified with Christ. And people, that's the hardest thing any of us are ever going to do. Our mindset has to change. We have to start thinking about not ourselves, but about the people around us. We need to do things differently. We need to be thinking about him, how he would do something. And it's so easy to use the cliche, what would Jesus do? But people, that needs to be a question in our mind about everything. Remember the weight of responsibility for family, for job, for interpersonal relationships, for financial situations. What would Jesus do with each one of those? And that's the way we need to approach them, like Jesus. But you and I can't do that, because you and I have normal desires. You and I have normal appetites. You and I have what we call a sin nature. And that prevents us from doing what Paul has said we need to do in Galatians 2:20, when he says, I am crucified. He crucified his own desires for Christ. Now, there's a lot of information that Paul gives us about this. We need to move closer to Jesus. That was part of the Sunday school lesson. We need to be closer to him in everything we do. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to talk like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. And I assume that's the desire of everybody here this morning. But the problem is us. We're in the way. And until we crucify ourselves, we are going to stay in the way. Paul had a lot to say about this. Galatians 5:24 and 25 says this, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And that, people, needs to be our goal. That's the answer. We need to start walking in the Spirit and not depending upon our own wisdom, not depending upon our own intellect. We need to become dependent upon the wisdom of God and his Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Please listen to what I'm going to say, because it's awfully important. Based upon what Galatians 5:24 and 25 tells us, we must learn to love what Jesus loves, and we must learn to hate the affections of our flesh and the lust that our flesh has such a propensity to pursue. I'm going to say that again. We must learn to love what Jesus loves and hate the affections of our flesh and the lust that our flesh has such a propensity to pursue. That's what's meant by crucifying the flesh. I can't speak for you. I cannot tell you how this affects me, and you may be affected the same way. You may be affected in an entirely different way. Okay, so I'm supposed to love like Jesus and not my flesh. Do I have the Holy Spirit living in me? Yes, I do. The first manifestation of His presence is love. And the problem is this. Ever since we were a little baby, we have loved ourselves. That's why babies cry. They're hungry. They're wet. They smell bad. For most men, ladies, that's what a baby is, okay? A hungry, wet, smelling bad little creature. But from that very time on, we were taught and we learned. Nobody had to teach us. It just came natural. We loved ourselves rather than the people around us. And as we got more mature in Christ, then we began to love others. And eventually, the thing that we're all reaching for is to love others more than we love us. And at that point, we have crucified the flesh. Now, we have to be able, in order to be successful, we have to be able to believe what the Bible tells us. And in 1 John 2:15 through 17, here's what the Bible tells us. Now, this is God's word. This is not my word. This is God's word. Here's what the Bible tells us. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All this stuff that God has given us, we're not supposed to love it. We're supposed to use it. Yeah. Not love it. Use it. For him. Not for us. Goes on. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Question. Would God ask you and me to do something we couldn't do? No, he wouldn't. And yet he asks us, he tells us, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Would God ask us to do that if we could? Do you think God would do that? Like I said, in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's an owl. And he flies around saying, woo, woo, what to do, what to do. You know, we need to be asking ourselves the same question about everything that we're involved in. And then we need to listen for this little, still, small voice that tells us what to do. Now there's an easy answer. The answer is Matthew 7:12, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. All of our Christian life, Jesus has wanted just one thing. All of our Christian life, since we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit is attempting to get us to do one thing. The Spirit, living in our heart, has been trying to get us to begin the process of crucifying ourselves. My. Some of us, it takes a lifetime. Some of us, we never do. But I just want to present to you this morning just the idea of what the next step could be for each of us and for this ministry. Would God ask us to do anything that he wouldn't provide for? I don't think so. I've seen him do work like this before. I've seen him provide. Now, I want to make a statement. I really would like to give Jesus everything that I have. I really believe in my heart that I am going to give Jesus everything. I really believe in my heart that I'm going to give Jesus everything. Did you catch the error in that statement? I'm going to make the statement again, see if you catch the error. There's a mistake. I believe in my heart that I'm going to be able to give Jesus everything. The error is in that little word, heart. What do we know about our hearts? The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So unless I do whatever I do in the power of God's Holy Spirit and not in the wisdom of my own heart, I'm going to fail. So are you. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Man, that's a hard thing to do, people. There's so much good stuff out there. My wife and I carted around for 15 years in that motorhome. That's where we got three piles. Salvation Army, us, dumpster. Good stuff. All of it. Needless. Needless stuff. God gave everything he has given to you and I, not for us, but for him. And to be used for his purposes, his ministry, his glory. And so you and I need to rethink this business of being crucified with Christ. Now, it won't happen overnight. It may not happen in the next week. It could, but it may not. It may not happen in the next month or the next year. But little by little, that should be our goal. To give everything, everything to his ministry. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for all that you're doing in our lives, for all you're doing in this ministry. But Father, we are very vain creatures. We have appetites. We have lusts. And Father, we would give these to you, but we can't because they belong to us. And so, Father, we would ask this morning, as we come before you in prayer, Father, may it be our petition that your Holy Spirit will help us, each one of us individually, to crucify ourselves, that we might serve you according to your will, that we might do things your way in your time, and we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to